We do have two items left on our agenda. We are going to take a 5-minute break. We will be back at 9:20 to wrap up our June JFP Commission meeting. We'll be at ease for 5 minutes. Back with our January 2024 JFP Commission meeting. We have two items left with this month's meeting. Number 22 on our agenda, the 2023 Habitat Stamp Project. And we have Jason and Ryan that will be joining us virtually. So when you are ready to begin, you can go ahead.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Good morning.
Members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling, Ryan Weininger here. I'm the Habitat Program Administrator. Jason here is going to pull up the PowerPoint presentation and then we'll get started. So. Can you all see that and hear me okay?
Yes.
All right, very good. Jason, you want to go to the next slide? That'd be great. Yeah, so today we're providing an overview of kind of calendar year 2023 on what was accomplished for the Habitat Stamp projects across the state. I'll be covering the terrestrial section here, talking about work on game production areas, the CREP program, and then walk area signing bonuses. Next slide, please. So first off here on our game production areas, we had another really good year planting some grassland and pollinator plantings, just shy of 900 acres of those types of plantings going in on our game production areas this last year, 24 different GPAs. In addition to that, we did about 50 acres of woody species management on two game production areas, and this consists of some forest thinning in some areas, you know, with some hardwood release type work, as well as removing some trees that may be volunteered into some of our nesting grassland habitat. Next slide. Food plots. We had 257 acres of food plots planted with Habitat Stamp dollars this year on four different game production areas. And then we also did quite a few woody habitat plantings. You heard Deputy Director Simpson talk about 138 acres of tree plantings on game production areas this last year. 68 of those acres were funded through Habitat Stamp dollars on 12 different sites. So good year planting some trees in some of our areas. Next slide, please. Lastly, on our game production areas, we did three different projects on some grassland management on GPAs. Water structure there you can see in the upper left corner. Typically used for watering some livestock, but also for wildlife use as well. Additionally, would be some fencing infrastructure, things of that nature to help conduct some grassland management on our game production areas. And then access roads and trails, we had six projects on six different GPAs. And these are typically improving roads leading to our areas, getting everybody that has maybe a smaller vehicle or just improving access in general to get people to those areas to be able to utilize those habitats and opportunities that are present on GPAs. Next slide. Moving on to the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, also known as CREP. We had 8,100 new acres enrolled in 2023. So a nice bump in enrollments there. The annual cost of those acres that were added this last year runs about $415,000. And those contracts are 10 to 15 years in length. So we'll be contributing those dollars annually over the next 10 to 15 years just for those contracts. Since 2021, over 18,000 acres have been enrolled in CREP, utilizing Habitat Stamp funds. And this last year, we paid out over $800,000 in Habitat Stamp funds for those CREP enrollments that are kind of categorized there. Also put a plug in that USDA did reopen or is now taking applications for the continuous CRP and CREP programs now, with the Farm Bill ending and then being extended through this next fall here. There was kind of a little break in there for enrollments, and we just got word yesterday that they're opening up that opportunity. So for those listening in, if you have an interest in whether it's CREP or continuous CRP, reach out to your USDA offices. Next slide, please. Walk-in area signing bonuses. We heard, you know, the record 1.5 million acres of access. Walk-in areas is a big portion of that. We're able to extend some long-term contracts on existing walk-in areas, but also sign up some new areas. And this particular situation here, we pay one-time upfront signing bonuses. We paid out about $900,000 of habitat stamp funds on over 58,000 acres of permanent habitat. Of those contracts, the average length runs about 8 years in length. And then one question or question that we get sometimes is there, you know, any payback of that if we cancel early? And the whole point of the walk-in area of signing bonus is to keep those contracts in for a long time and give some additional financial incentive to that. So if they back out early, they are required to pay those dollars back. But it's just a great way to provide some additional funding for those cooperators that enroll in the walk-in area program and then make those areas available to our users for multiple years, knowing that they could hunt them for a long time in the years to come is very valuable. I think that's all I had for slides. I'll turn it over to Jason, and I'll stay available at the end here for questions.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Commissioner, Secretary Roebling. This is Jason Youngworth, Aquatic Habitat and Access Coordinator. I'm going to talk to you this morning about what the aquatic side has done with habitat stamp funds. For some reason, also, I can't get my slides forward. There we go. We have kind of four main areas that I kind of lumped all the projects that we did in 2023. And those kind of groupings are dam and infrastructure maintenance, boat ramp improvements and development, habitat improvement and development, and access trails and improvement and development. This here is first one is looking at dam infrastructure maintenance. We have we own about 86 dams across the state, and this last year we worked on three dams, and mostly up in the northeast part of the state. One of them was a high hazard dam in Lake Fullerton, but overall we've accomplished or worked on 24 of those 86 dams to date since the inception of Habitat Stamp in 2020. What we do when we go in to work on these dams is we look to update the crack, any cracks that are out there, clean them out and seal them up. We remove excess vegetation that's not wanted. A lot of that focuses on large woody, like trees and stuff like that, that can cause issues. We work on crest and embankment leveling, update the riprap, clean the approach and exit channels, work on wing walls or on like the case on Fulton, which is the pictures here, when we worked on the wing wall, we actually found a void underneath our slab floor, and we were able to fill that to ensure stability on there. So the picture on the upper left here kind of shows a before of Lake Fulton. You can see a lot of vegetation growing up through those cracks. We clean them out, fill them up, and if you could actually see on that back wing wall, there's an excessive amount of cracking in there. And if you could actually see from a different angle, that wing wall was leaning. So we had to go in and fix that wing wall, replace it. And that's the finished product on the picture on the right. So this was Lake Fulton, and this was a high hazard dam. So when we talk about the hazard classification, the high and significant hazard, those were our focus areas of a lot of those first 24. Because if we don't do anything with the high and significant hazard, there's a higher chance of a loss of life and or infrastructure, so we have a lot more need to update those. The second grouping here is boat ramp development and improvement. We did accomplish seven projects in five different counties across the state this last year. We kind of have two groupings of these types of projects. We do improvements on existing boat ramps, which we had one project on Bullhead Lake up in the northeast. And those are, we take in, we had, a Bullhead was a long-standing boat ramp out there. Well, I think it was a small plank ramp initially. We went back and updated that to a large plank ramp. And a lot of times when we go and do those, we look at other infrastructure needs out there as well. Is there drainage issues, is there parking issues, things like that, that we can address at the same time and make that a much better facility for our users moving forward. We also worked on six new developments. All these six new developments were the small to primitive type ramps. And the pictures here is the Alltop access up in Day County. This was actually started, I think conversation started in 2021 with a land transfer that finished in last year before you, the commission. So what we were able to do is address several items with this. The land that we traded was landlocked public ground that we were able to trade for, open up a walk-in area, or game production area that connects to a waterfowl production area. So we went in here and then put a small plank ramp in. We did this all internal with our staff up in the Northeast. This is a very popular fishery. It provides waterfowl access, and it this opened up in August of 23. And the kind of a neat thing about this, I think they finished up on like a Thursday, and on that Saturday there was already 15 units using this new ramp. It's a pretty cool project up there. Next grouping is habitat improvements and developments. We focused on, or we got 12 projects done that focused on aeration, fencing, water quality, and fish habitat structures. Here in these two pictures are habitat structure types. The one on the left is mossback artificials. That's a commercial product that we buy, and they're designed to mimic natural trees and vegetation that would be in a water body. The picture on the right is actually a rootwad cedar tree pile that we put out there. So there's a lot of work going on between natural and artificials. One thing, the big difference is that we're looking to evaluate is the longevity of both of these and the cost benefit behind them. We actually got a project going on to evaluate these on Fate Dam Reservoir down in Lyman County. That's in the works right now of comparing fish usage to both natural and artificial structures. So we'll be sharing, I'm sure, some results of that in the next couple of years once that study's done. Another habitat improvement project we did is this fencing project out on a very popular walk-in fishery out at Castle Creek out in the Black Hills. This is a pretty cool project that we got done. This is like 1.5 miles section of fencing to fence off a section of a very popular walk-in fishery trout stream out there. And there's a lot of partners that came to the table for this project that brought funds. Aquatic Habitat Stamp funds were used, Hunt for Habitat funds, Black Hills Fly Fishers, Rocky Mountain Elk, Wild Turkey Foundation, and Trout Unlimited in South Dakota all contributed funds to this project. And it brings a lot of benefits to not only the trout species, but other species like beaver, turkey, deer, elk, and other species that would utilize this section of stream moving forward. The last grouping is access trail and improvements and developments. We completed 36 total projects out there. And you can see here's the groupings. We did like 6 piers, 6 docks, 1 ADA ramp, and 21 other projects. The pictures here in this slide illustrate Wicksville Dam out, it's a small impoundment just east of Rapid City. We were able to establish 2 fishing platforms. You can see the middle picture where there's essentially, when the public uses these areas, they can kind of dictate where we would put improvements on for aquatic habitat or aquatic access. You can see almost like a cattle path walking down to the shoreline. So we went in there and put 2 fishing platforms out, and then and the pictures on the left and the right are 2 examples. The one on the left actually is a ADA accessible platform. There's a crushed asphalt pad that goes down to the fishing deck, and the other one has stairs that you can just walk down. The public really loves these. We use these platforms like this, or what we call bump outs or fishing pods that are just like made of dirt and material on the shoreline. We have several of these all around the state, and these are extremely popular. They get anglers just a little bit farther into the water. Just a lot of times they can fish and cast out past the vegetation lines in the water. And this is just a continuation of a lot of work that's been done on Wicksville Dam specifically. The last year we did a lot of cattail removal on the shoreline to promote more shore fishing access, put out some of those habitat structures, some rootwads out here, and a few other things. Here's a couple more pictures of some access areas. The first one up on the upper left there is the American Creek Marina, which you got to tour a couple of commission meetings ago in Chamberlain there. working with the Explorer Club. That was a pretty cool project to create that ADA accessible ramp to get anglers, access for anglers into boats. The picture on the right is, it may seem like a minimal project. It's establishing a solar light at a boat ramp. But in some of our access areas, we don't have the ability to get power out there, but using solar power lights, it's a great tool. It provides little light for those anglers that like to get out there early in the morning before sunrise and come in after dark. It just gives them a little more safety to load and unload their boat and equipment. Another one that we has gotten more popular is creating canoe, kayak, and small watercraft launches. And we could almost include this into our boat ramp development improvements, but it's kind of unique because, like this one here is a project that was done in Watertown in a partnership with the city of Watertown on the Big Sioux River. It gets a lot of different usage throughout the year. Using canoes and kayaks is becoming really big for hunting and, fishing users out there. I mean, you go into like a Cabela's or Shields anymore, and there's tons of canoes and kayaks that are set up and designed specifically for hunting. This was a pretty cool project that was done where they did put up a camera to look at and kind of monitor this over this summer to see how much usage, because this just went in this spring. And through the months of June, July, August, September, and October, there was 192 different individual usages at this facility alone. Most of them were in the summer, June, July, but there was a fair number in September, October as well. So it's a pretty cool usage. Another one is, and I'm kind of trying to spread some of these projects out all around the state so you can see what's done all over. This is another access improvement project out at Sheridan Lake. It's, as was mentioned prior, the nuances and the trials of working with some of our partners, especially the Forest Service. This is a Forest Service area that we were able to partner with them on to make a popular shore fishing area much better. The two pictures on the left show this area. It's got the parking lot up there. It was just a grass area that's seen a lot of erosion, a lot of wear and tear and usage. You can see in the top picture some of the trails. Not very conducive to actually stand on the shoreline to fish very comfortably and easily. The bottom picture kind of shows, you know, cross profile of what that shoreline looks like to give you kind of an idea. What we're able to do with the Forest Service, they brought some funds into this project and split the cost with us on it. But we had that whole shoreline redone, reworked, resloped, easier access. There's a stair system on each side with a riprap on the front, and then, which is really cool, all these flat stones right on the water's edge that gives a platform for any anglers to use. I mean, you can walk down either way and now really utilize that whole section of shoreline. This is a picture, aerial picture taken this spring. So there will be grass there and vegetation. It was just prior to the growing season and when it was planted. And the last access improvement project and trail improvement project I'll talk about is the Highway 34 to Fort George project. You heard about Fort George improvements right at the boat ramp earlier today. This is a section of a very popular shore fishing location from about 15 miles east of town, pier here from the Twin Bridge area down to that Fort George boat ramp. This is just a map kind of those areas. It's an extremely popular shore fishing location. There's a few approaches that and trails that were developed initially when this area was set up. Anglers really like this area. They've gone and made new approaches, new roads down there. So we went with this project is to really spruce up all those areas. This was an area that was really affected from the 2011 flood as well. It used to have a pretty nice shoreline bank to get down, fairly easy in most locations. But after the 11 flood, it was all cut bank, made it much more difficult for anglers to traverse down the shoreline. And I'll show you a couple pictures coming up here of that, of what that looked like. And then also we had some concern from the DOT because on the couple of these areas that didn't have approaches, that people were just driving through the ditch up out of there. And some of those road access areas were pretty steep. And when they're making those two-track trails, it compromises the shoulder of this highway. And it's also very unsafe because you're almost coming up and looking blind and you don't know what traffic is coming at you. And we actually worked on, this is about a 2.5 miles stretch of shoreline here. Here's the first couple pictures. Here's a before and after of that, of a new approach that we put in an area. Pictures on the left doesn't really do it justice on showing what kind of slope is going from by the shoreline up to the road, but you can see just the two tracks. And if you could see this picture, it would be just a little bit wider. Right off to the bottom right of the corner, you can see a trail that kind of goes up there that goes straight up that hill. So we come in and we had it engineered to make a nice gradual approach going up there with a safe landing and a good gravel base. So there's these two-track trails, if you got wet in the spring, were pretty hard to get up and down, and really anglers couldn't get down here at certain times of the year. So this is one good improvement. Here's the kind of a couple looks at the trails of some before and afters. Picture on the left are, you know, big potholes, kind of show that there's not a lot of gravel. It's mostly dirt, weeds, things like that. We kind of put a good gravel lift on all these trails down through there so they can be utilized any time of the year. And really this area, I think I forgot to mention earlier, is it gets used from ice off in the spring to ice up in the fall. And it would probably get used in the winter if this area had safe ice, but due to current conditions, we don't get a good safe ice area layer in this area. And as I mentioned, the cut banks in this area, you can see where the public were actually making trails up and down and trying to make it easier, a couple before and after. So what we did is there was 11 locations where the anglers were using already and kind of had identified through, essentially with lack of better terms, a cattle trail going up and down these slopes. We went in and devised the Ready Rock block step system. You can see the pictures just to the right of each of the befores or the afters of what those areas look like. So some of these had two or three steps with platforms. Some of them were easier because they just had maybe like a 6-8 steps down there. But this just got finished up this fall. It was one we kind of brought online last minute this fall. And the anglers that did use this and were seeing it done this fall and nothing but really positive comments on a pretty successful project out there. So we're really looking forward to anglers getting to use this spring. Last couple of slides here is just a couple of maps that we have put together. This is just a location of all the projects completed in 2023. The blue dots are aquatic, the green dots are the private land access, and the orange dots are terrestrial projects. Kind of a neat thing you can see is look at how widespread all those projects are all across the state. And this map here just shows all the projects accomplished from inception in 2020 through 2023. Again, look at how widespread all across the state that these habitat stamp funds are covering. And the last slide for you is our dashboard. If you have never been on and looked at it, we got a dashboard on our website, address down in the bottom left corner. It's just an up-to-date dashboard where we put all our projects on that we're working on. You can see we've done a total of 904 projects, spent about $10.5 million since inception. And the columns on the right are just kind of some milestones of different types of activities, like almost 55 miles of trails and roads created and so forth. So with that, Ryan, I'd be more than happy to answer any questions you have.
Yes, any questions for either Ryan or Jason? One quick question, Ryan, I don't know if you can answer this. When the legislature created the habitat stamp, did they put in certain requirements that we had to meet so many projects by each year or maybe every 3 years? Are there requirements like that?
Madam Chair, no, there's no specific requirements of milestones, things of that nature. Part of the guidelines in there, though, we do have to report to GOAC each fall and report out where the dollars are being spent and how they're being spent. That's kind of the only additional guideline in there. So,
very good. Thank you for that answer. Any other comments, questions? A lot of great work taking place across the state for South Dakotans. Thank you.